And I'm getting whatever I can get out of this. Now, he said, go with me wherever I go. And we're going to be talking about the Bible. I'm just going to dig into this guy. This is got a wealth of knowledge.
Hallelujah.
And I appreciate you, brother. God bless you. Why don't you come and just take the pulpit?
Yes.
And take your liberty, brother.
Yes.
And I've seen him get pumped, really get pumped. Amen. So you want to get pumped with him? Shout him. I'll tell you, when you shout him, he preaches.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I think Monday we'll have that.
These are the days of electronics. We've got to get all the switches pulled on. Amen. I greet you in the name of the Lord. I'm glad to be here. I come in the name of the Lord. I believe I'm in the will of God to be here. And I was excited about the service this morning. And I talked to my wife, Nellie Blue, and told her about it. And I'm just rejoicing. I may possibly have to run home for a funeral, but I'll be back. I wouldn't miss anything, but we'll see. If the pastor's going to stay with me, I'm going to have to take him to Idaho with me. And then I'll preach to him all the way up there and all the way back. That wouldn't be too bad. But we've been so busy, we've hardly had to have time to compare notes. Be in prayer each day. Call my name in prayer. And develop your prayer life. It's important that you know how to pray. And articulate your prayers before the Lord. Every prayer you pray is written in heaven. The Lord knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. And every prayer you pray is written in heaven, and they're not sins. So they won't be blotted out. And I have a sense of humor. When the Lord saved me, he started sanctifying the sense of humor out of me, but he hadn't quite got it all. And I was thinking one time, I said, you know the way some people are, if I was God, when they get to heaven, I'd make them reread all the prayers of a lifetime. And I had one man, he said he's seeking the Holy Ghost. And he came to the altar, and I was embarrassed to have him at the altar. He went, hallelujah, 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 glory, 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 hallelujah, 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 glory, 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 hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. And he told me before, he came to seek the Holy Spirit. And I said, brother, ask and receive. He was an executive of the Union Pacific Railroad. They should have fired him. He had a blue denim suit on, looked like an executive, and walked like an executive until he started to pray. And this was his prayer. I said, don't pray this way. Just say, Lord, I would like to receive the Holy Spirit. I gave him scripture, and I said, now let's pray. And so, glory, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, 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 glory. See, if I were God, I'd make him pray. Read all those prayers when he got to heaven, to start heaven, you know. I mean, God can understand good English. He can understand okay English. Just talk to him. Tell him what you want. Remember that old song, Jesus on the Mainland? Tell him what you want. Hallelujah. But write down your prayer list. Make a note. Keep a prayer book. Because when they are answered, praise the Lord, answered, and develop a prayer life. I'd like to teach some of you how to pray. Well, this wonderful service this morning. I'm excited about it. God made a covenant with Abraham. A twofold covenant. Concerning promised seed and promised land. Now, the rest of this meeting, Lord willing, if God cuts in and we go another direction, that's all right. But this is the plan to show how Satan wants to break that covenant. But he's not going to break it. And one third of the Bible is prophecy. We learned that this morning. To neglect one Bible prophecy is to neglect one third of the Bible. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for this church. And I just am amazed. I've thought again and again throughout the day of the beauty of this building. Coming from a family of artists that appreciate architect and beauty. I like historic things, and I like this church. And there's only one thing I like about this church better than the building, and it's the people in it.
Yes.
And the pastor. And I love these people, and you love these people. I pray, Lord, that you will build this church and make it strong.
Yes.
Now we have some facilities. We ask, Lord, that you'll bring into the church daily those that should be saved. And I found already that you've been saving people from alcohol, from drug addiction, and that's your specialty. Everything you do is perfect, but if you had one specialty, it would be to save people from sin. Well, I thank you for each one here that is saved. Now, Lord, may the Holy Ghost come upon me. We have a lot of territory to cover. May it be simple and easily understood. I know, Lord, that you've led me by the Spirit to travel some unfamiliar pathways in the Scripture. And, Lord, I know that every lover of the Word of God will be delighted to hear the Word of God preach. And I pledge my heart to glorify Jesus. Now, Lord, if there's anyone in pain or discomfort, heal them, and so they'll be physically strengthened to hear your word. We'll give you the glory for what is done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Did you bring a Bible?
Yes.
I want to have a Bible salute. Just hold it up. Hold it up, 1, 2, 3, Bible salute, and move it. That means keep the Word of God moving and hold it up until anyone without a Bible looks spiritually ashamed and naked for coming into battle without a sword. So it's a Bible church. Hallelujah. Oh, you may put them down now. Word of God. Now, 12 tribulation battles is the theme. If I were to ask you, what is the one verse in the Bible connected with Bible prophecy that is the most important verse in the Bible? What would come to your mind? Now, you don't have to vocalize. I just want you to bring one portion of Scripture or one chapter or one book to mind. And then I'm going to tell you my opinion. You don't have to agree with me. But if you disagree, don't be nasty. Just disagree agreeably, okay? My opinion is the one singular verse on Bible prophecy, more important than any other, is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 19 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. And here it is. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All Bible prophecy should bring you to Jesus. Solomon the wise said, a threefold cord is not easily broken. Any mariner knows that if you take a string of hemp rope, and then you take two others, that if they're all the same strength, it'll be three times the strength. But if you weave them together, they're not three times as strong, but the strength is compounded. And there is in Bible prophecy a threefold cord of Bible prophecy. But Jesus Christ is the foundation of it. See, the main spirit of prophecy all through the Old Testament is that God was going to send an answer to sin. The first messianic prophecy in Genesis 3:15, that the seed of woman would bruise the serpent's head. And then every prophet came along, and nearly everyone the prophet, gave a prophecy about Jesus. Did you know that modernistic teaching was born before Jesus was born in Bethlehem? See, the prophets came along and they added something else to this Messiah. One said that he would come from Bethlehem. Another said he would come from Egypt. Another said he'd come from Nazareth. One said he would be prophet. Another said he'd be priest. Another said he'd be king. And year after year they waited for his coming and he didn't come. And so modernistic theology was born. And the wise man who learned these scriptures said, well, it's confusing. They don't agree. One says he comes from Egypt, one from Bethlehem, one from Nazareth. One says he's going to be prophet. What is Messiah? Maybe it's a political movement. Maybe it's an old poem. Maybe it's a lyric song. We don't know what this Messiah is. It's mystical. We just can't understand. But you know, Everything said about it was both simple and true. If you tell me you come from Ogden, you were born in Ogden, that's not complicated. I don't think, well, maybe he means that he was born in San Francisco. No, I just think you came from Ogden and were born in Ogden. Is that too heavy for you? And so when he says he'd come from Bethlehem, he'd come from, but see, he was born in Bethlehem, they took him to Egypt, and then he was raised in Nazareth. It was all true. And so about the time they said, we can't understand this prophecy, a baby cried in Bethlehem.
Yes, praise God.
And all of these things came to pass up to his first coming. All right, follow me. For thousands of years, they waited. From Adam and Eve, they waited. And then a baby cried in Bethlehem. Now, he was only here for 33 years, and then he was gone. But before he went away, the last thing he said is, I'll come again. And it's been 2,000 years. But he gave us signs of his second coming. Get this? This is heavy, but easy to understand. For the entire history of mankind, God ordained that for all of the years of human existence, except 33, man was looking for the coming of Christ. Got it?
Yeah.
Only 33 years they weren't looking, and that's when he was here. So some people say, oh, well, I heard that he was coming soon when I was a boy. He was coming soon. And in God's eternal calendar, time is different to our clock on our wristwatch. For those that aren't ready, it'll be too soon.
That's true.
So, all Bible prophecy leads us to this assurance that God's word is true, Jesus is coming again, and as a boy, it was Bible prophecy that convinced me of God. Isaiah, God speaking, said, who as I can declare a thing and bring it to pass? So Jesus Christ is the very foundation principle, the foundation stone of Bible prophecy.
Yes.
And all Bible prophecy should bring you to Jesus and to that hope of his coming again and the knowledge that he will come again. So now through the Old Testament covenant, we have a threefold cord of Bible prophecy. First, it's based on Jesus and his word. But there are three threads. What does it say about the Jews, the seed of Abraham? What does it say about the church? And what does it say about the Gentile nations? All three cords are expressed many, many times in the prophecies. Now, Jesus was leaving the temple with the disciples. Matthew 24. And they called his attention to the beauty of the temple. Just as like people said, have you noticed this building? I love the building. It's a beautiful building. It's a work of art. I'm glad we have it. We have it by miracle. But in the same way, the Jewish temple was the most beautiful building built. And they called his attention to it. And Jesus said, tear it down. And in 3 days, I'll rebuild it. And the Bible says, then they understood. He was talking about his body, which is a temple of God, the third person of the Trinity. And your body is also a temple. And he would be raised. Now, he dealt with this again and again and again. And you can't believe how many times Jesus said, I'll die, but I'll come back to life the third day. I made a study of every one of these scriptures, see. Now, it was their first taste of Bible prophecy. And so they went through the Valley of Kidron up to the Mount of Olives, and their heart was afire to know more about Bible prophecy. Do you remember the first time you ever heard Bible prophecy preached, how it put a certain spell on you, and a kind of a thrill and an awe, and if you weren't quite right with God, a kind of a wonder and a fear? And they had questions. Lord, tell us. Tell us more. They asked three questions. When will this be? What will be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?
Yes.
These things are far removed into time. And in a miracle, chanting, so to speak, a sermon, so to speak, a teaching. He answered all three things at one time. I talk about a threefold cord. When he talks about the destruction of the temple, the Jewish temple, it is parabolic of the other two, of his coming and the end of the world. When he speaks of his coming, it's parabolic of Jerusalem in the days of 70 AD and of the end of the world. Get it? When he speaks of the end of time, the end of the age, it also is like an illustration of the destruction of the temple and what happened in 70 AD. That makes it a little complicated. One theologian said it's the most difficult portion of Scripture. But this is the principle. Just believe what it says. You don't have to understand it. Just believe it. And if you don't understand it, believe it anyway. See, there's a place where the Bible says one third of the ocean will turn to blood. Don't try to explain that to something else. You know what it means? It means just what it says. It means that one third of the oceans are going to turn to blood.
Yeah.
And now we know, after all these years, that through nuclear fusion, that is possible. And I may mention that some night. So, in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, that's the title, it's not the Revelation, it's the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And you must see Jesus in every chapter because the spirit, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
That's right.
Have you got it?
Yes.
Would you turn to someone, if there's anyone close to you, and say, this testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Now get that. And so don't get off on some tangent where you leave Jesus out of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Now, this is called the Olivet Discourse. So he gave this great teaching. It's found in Mark 13 and Luke 21. The more prophecies of Jesus come from these three chapters than all of his other teaching. And in Matthew 24, he says, speaking of a time coming, then shall be great tribulation, like it has not been from the beginning of time to that day, nor ever after shall be. And except those days be shortened, no flesh will be saved. I was sharing with the pastor a telephone call I got yesterday afternoon from a preacher friend of mine that was raised in a denomination that doesn't believe in Bible prophecy. They're called historians or all millennialists. But he was troubled. And he was troubled by this verse. He said, Jesus said there's coming a time that was worse than anything happened before. And he had read Josephus and the destruction of Jerusalem 70 AD. And he said, it's going to be, how could it be worse than Hitler and the Holocaust? And how could it be more terrible than anything that's happened in the history of the world? It will be. And that got him thinking, and he had a lot of questions. Now, let's talk about it. We talk about this period of time as the Great Tribulation. In a simple outline of Bible prophecy, this is a starting place. When I was in high school, I said to my mother and father, great Bible students, well, I hear about millennial, and I hear about 7 years, and I hear 3.5 years, and I hear the mark of the beast, and I hear the Antichrist, and all of these. It's kind of a jumble in my mind. They sat me down at the table and gave me paper and pencil and write these things down. Number one, the rapture. The rapture. The rapture of the church. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Number two, the great tribulation. Now, the great tribulation is this time of trouble. It covers Revelation chapter 6 to chapter 18. And it's given, listen, it's given in days, in weeks, in months, and in years. It's the best documented period of time in the whole Bible. Always divided into 3.5 years and 3.5 years. And we know that during this time certain things happen. Certain things happen in the first 3.5 years and in the second 3.5 years. It's during this time that the Antichrist rises. During this time that the Jewish temple will be rebuilt. During this time that all of these plagues and judgments will come upon the earth. And this ends with the battle of Armageddon. And at that time, Jesus Christ returned to earth. So we have a lot of things happen during the tribulation days. But then, number three, the return of Christ to earth. The first, in the rapture, he just meets us in the air. We're caught up. But then we have the advent. They're not the same thing. A young lady called me. She's been in Bible study. She's been in church all her life. She said, I just learned that the rapture and the return of Christ is not the same. And she'd been in church, and she'd never picked up on that. I was amazed. But then Christ comes, and the battle of Armageddon takes place. Now, then, there's the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years. The period of 1,000 years is given 5 times. When the Bible says 1,000 years, I believe 1,000 years. Yes. See, you get in trouble if you think it means something but what it says. Yes. And we have a lot of theology spent telling people, explaining people that the Bible doesn't mean what it says, and they act like it's deep and profound teaching. If it's so profound that you can read it and not understand it without somebody else telling you, you're off base, because the Bible says no scripture is a private interpretation.
Yes. Yes.
So you have 1,000 years. And the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years, is one of my favorite studies, and we hear very little about it. During that time, Satan is bound and chained. During that time, there's no war. For 1,000 years without war, and peace on earth, during that time a man will be 100 years of age until a child. There'll be little or no death. The population of the earth will go beyond anything up to that present time. But at the end of that time, there'll be an uprising against God. Can you imagine? God is going to prove that his laws work, and the human race is going to be forced to obey God. And it pays off. The laws of God work. Then there's the operation, and then there's the final judgment. Now, during this time, there's two judgments. There's the judgment of the saints, the beam of judgment before, and probably right at the rapture, and then at the end, the great white throne judgment. Then heaven and earth pass away, and there's a new heaven and a new earth, dwelleth righteousness, and then eternity. Now, that's a starting place. That's a starting place. Now, during this 7-year period of time, we have this word, tribulation. Tribulation means great trouble, a big, big trouble. Now, the Bible has a lot of phrases. And most of the scripture connected with it is not under the word tribulation. But there are certain phrases. The Bible talks about the day of the Lord. If you're taking notes, write it down, the day of the Lord. And then the prophets use the word in that day, in that day. And then it uses the day of vengeance, the day of God's wrath, the time of the heathen, the time of the nations, the time of God's jealousy, the time of his anger. And with all of these put together, there are over 500 references connected with the day of the Lord. Entire chapters. Every one of the major prophets and most of the minor prophets gave a lot of scripture to the day of the Lord. And I preach to people and say, I've never heard this. I've been a Christian for years. I've never heard this. Well, I'll tell you the problem is, a lot of people spend too much time reading books about the Bible and not reading the Bible. Everything I share with you is found in this Bible. I'm preaching the Word of God to you. And heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And the Bible says of this Bible prophecy, every jot and tittle will be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Okay, got it? Now, during this time that is called the day of the Lord, if the Bible gives a phrase like 40 days or 60 days, then it's 24-hour period of time. But when it says the day of the Lord, it's a period of time. And it's from other scriptures that we know this period of time is a 7-year period of time. During this period of time, there are 12 great battles that take place that the Bible tells are connected with the day of the Lord. Okay? How do we know it's the day? Because the Bible tells us it is. Wow. Now, to understand what's happening in the Middle East, you have to understand the Bible.
Yeah.
And there's going to be, in the last days, tremendous judgment in the Middle East, and it's going to affect the entire world. And the last of these 12 battles is the Battle of Armageddon, and it has at least scripture connected with them. We're right now in the aftermath of the Lebanese-Israeli war, the Hezbollah, and the about 35, 36 days ago, however long it's been, the Hezbollah of Gaza Strip killed six Israeli soldiers, tumbled across and killed them, and they took two captive. And at the same time, from Lebanon right to the north, they started shooting rockets, and these rockets were made in Iran and brought down through Syria, and they started shooting rockets. And they could only reach so far in northern Israel, but they reached Haifa, they reached Tiberias, they reached clear, some of them to Nazareth and the cities, and they shot several thousand of these rockets. And immediately Israel went back into Lebanon. They withdrew 6 years ago by United Nations pressure. And so here is the Hamas terrorist group, and along with that, the Hezbollah terrorist group that are extreme fanatic Muslims. And their goal is, by their own statement, to destroy Israel, to kill all the Jews. See, this morning we talked about the God that cannot die and the God that will not lie. Yes. And he promised seed to Abraham. And throughout this Old Testament, he had prophecy after prophecy. That in this prophecy, there would be three times when they were carried captive. And the first one, we didn't cover this morning in Genesis 16, but they would go into Egypt. They would be into a land for 400 years. You want some interesting, you know, there are hundreds of little tidbits of prophecy that we sometimes just read over. But he said for 400 years, the seed of Abraham would be in Egypt. And in the fourth generation, they would come out again. That was the first.